It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
I'm Emily Campagno.
I'm Guy Benson.
I'm Shannon Bream, and this is the Fox News Rundown.
Friday, July 22nd, 2022. I'm Eben Brown. A breakthrough, maybe, as Turkey secures a way for Ukraine to export its wheat beyond Russian blockades to again help feed needy nations.
Millions of people depend on Ukrainian grain that counts for 10% of the world wheat and grain. And so it's important to get this stuff out. There's a humanitarian crisis.
This is the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Ukraine historically has been known as the breadbasket. Its agriculture sector, mainly its wheat production, is unparalleled, and it has long been the go-to source to provide affordable food for nations in Africa and the Middle East, where growing conditions and economies have left whole populations on a constant verge of famine. But Russia's war and surrounding Ukraine's key Black Sea ports have meant Ukraine couldn't make deliveries. Russia had stood fast despite international pleas. But now Turkey has had some success.
For months now, the United Nations, led by the UN Secretary General, has been pushing Russia to allow Ukraine to export some 22 million tons out of the country.
Lucas Tomlinson is our Fox News correspondent stationed in country in Ukraine, where he talks with leaders and soldiers and volunteers alike. He speaks to us from the capital city of Kyiv.
This grain has been in silos. It's been pier side in Odessa, Ukraine's largest port. But the Russians, of course, have warships and submarines and have been blockading Ukraine's ports for the last 5 months since the start of the invasion. In fact, there's been no trade, no commerce at sea since the start of this invasion. So as you mentioned, you know, whether it's Africa or the Middle East, millions of people depend on Ukrainian grain that counts for 10% of the world's wheat and grain. And so it's important to get this stuff out. There's a humanitarian crisis. And the UN Secretary General today in Istanbul, when he announced the deal after the signing, said that, you know, it was a landmark agreement and said that, you know, millions have been waiting for months. And this goes even the high price of grains goes even before the war because of droughts worldwide. So it's a very big deal. However, there should be noted that, you know, people are cautiously optimistic. The State Department's been very clear. While it welcomes the agreement, they want to see it implemented. And none of the ships out of Ukraine, the cargo ships full of grain, are going to be leaving port for a number of weeks. Just to go over the outline of the agreement, the Russians are allowing Ukraine to export its grain, but it's going to go to Turkey first, where it's offloaded, and then it will travel to different ports around the world. And then those empty cargo ships will return to Ukraine. But the Russians are very wary. They want to make sure there's no weapons being smuggled back in the country. Now, you may be wondering, what's in it for Russia? Well, Russia also has grain to export and fertilizer. And since the war began, Turkey has closed the Bosphorus Strait, which, of course, opens up the Black Sea to the world. And so that's one of the reasons Turkey was a broker in this agreement, along with the United Nations. In fact, the deal was signed in Istanbul Friday. It should be noted the Ukrainian representative, as well as the Russian representative, who happened to be the defense minister, Sergei Shoigu, which a lot of people took note that it was not Sergei Lavrov, the country's top diplomat. It says a lot about the fact that this is not a ceasefire and that these are wartime conditions. But it's definitely noted that the Russians sent the head of its military to sign this agreement. Again, it is not a ceasefire, but it does appear that it's some progress, certainly when it comes to exports. Because right now, Russia is not just squeezing Ukraine on the battlefield, but also economically. I mean, of course, there's no tourism, there's no airliners, nobody's visiting this country, there's no flights in here, and certainly the trade has been decimated. Only a fraction of this grain has been allowed, to be able to leave the country via rail, via truck. But of course, 90% of the world's commerce is by sea. So when you look at the size of these container ships, much easier to export materials by sea rather than by land. But certainly we're not there yet. There's certainly a major breakthrough. State Department is looking forward to seeing how it develops, but no ships. So it'll be weeks before the ships can make it out to sea, but it's progress.
Let's talk a bit more about Turkey's role here. Turkey is a NATO nation. It does have somewhat of a love-hate relationship with the West. It has ties to Russia and ties to Iran, although not necessarily full-fledged friends of those two nations. But they seem to be the ones that flex the diplomatic and negotiating muscle here. So this is good for Turkey as much as it is good for Ukraine and good for the rest of the world in terms of getting this grain out, is it not?
That's right. I mean, it's a busy week for Turkey's president, Tayyip Erdogan. Earlier this week, he was in Iran alongside the leader of Iran and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Now here he is in Istanbul hosting really the first breakthrough of the war. Again, it's not a ceasefire. However, it is allowing Ukraine to export in the beginning of some 22 million tons. So this is good news. However, it should be noted, the Russians, probably not a coincidence, fired a number of cruise missiles into Odessa, Ukraine's largest port, earlier this week. And that this is something that, it needs to be worked through. Odessa is heavily mined. There are some, waterways that have been cleared of those mines to be able to, for Ukrainian pilots to get these cargo ships out to sea. But this is a very, very dangerous, very tense situation. Russian submarines fired cruise missiles into central Ukraine last week into Vinnytsia, which, killed almost 2,000 people, including that 4-year-old girl, Lisa, whose funeral made global news. So there's a lot that remains to be seen. However, your question had been about Turkey's role in all this. Turkey, it's a delicate balance. They have U.S. military keeps nuclear warheads in Turkey at Incirlik Air Force Base. They're a NATO ally. However, and the Ukrainians are using Turkish drones to strike Russian positions. Yet at the same time, Turkey is seen as kind of an intermediary in this conflict. They're hosting talks. The president's going to Iran. He's meeting with the Russian president. So, people are just trying to make gains. And many are optimistic that, hopefully this leads to some more talks down the road. However, it should be noted while all this was going on, the CIA director in Aspen, Colorado, some very sobering statistics saying the Russians have lost some 15,000 soldiers in just 5 months of this war. That equals the amount of soldiers the Soviet military lost in Afghanistan in its 10-year war in the 1980s. Some 45,000 Russian soldiers have been wounded here in Ukraine. However, he also had some sobering news about the Ukrainian forces, said their casualties are only a little less than that, and that they've taken significant losses. So this is a brutal, brutal war. Russia continues to gain, it sounds a little cliche, but inch by inch, mile by mile in Donbass, They certainly hold more territory now than they did at the start of the invasion. They control more than 20% of this country, and there's really no sign that they're going to stop. However, some note of optimism from the CIA director's counterpart, the head of MI6, Britain's Foreign Intelligence Service, at the same conference in Colorado, said that he thinks the Russians are going to run out of steam. We heard also from top Pentagon leaders that Ukrainians need more ammunition, that the Russians might be running out of steam, but the Ukrainians are running out of ammo. And it's not just about HIMARS launchers. We heard from the defense secretary that four more are heading to this country, which will bring the total to 16. These are these satellite-guided rocket launchers that have struck a chord with the Russians. They've destroyed over 100 major targets, we're hearing from Pentagon leaders. However, it's noted that none of these HIMARS, these advanced, really pinpoint accurate rocket launchers can be used to strike targets in Russia. And the Russians know this is why they're firing missiles into Ukraine from Russia. They know they're off limits. That's why they're firing into Kharkiv, Ukraine's second largest city, from the town of Belgorod, just over the border. So there's a lot going on right now, but it appears right now that while the Ukrainians are not losing, they certainly aren't gaining. They're not able to launch a full counter assault into Crimea, into Donbass, some of these Russian-controlled territories. The Russian gains are coming at a very high cost, as we heard, with just 15,000 soldiers dead. You almost can't even fathom. That's over twice as many people that were killed in Iraq and Afghanistan over the past two decades. I mean, the numbers are just astronomical, but that's where we stand right now.
You've been listening to Fox News correspondent Lucas Tomlinson. He is once again reporting from Kyiv here on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine. We'll have more with Lucas straight ahead. As you mentioned, the Turkish negotiating of a deal for that grain export, it's not a ceasefire. And because of that, they are where you've just described. They are still, meaning the two sides are in the thick of a very brutal war. The numbers of casualties are truly staggering, as you mentioned. And it looks like no side is willing to say that they've had enough or that they've lost. It doesn't look like Russia is willing to say, all right, this is too difficult, this is taking too long, we're not getting anywhere, or not getting anywhere quickly. And on the other side, the Ukrainians are saying, we'll talk a ceasefire once you're willing to withdraw. Which, it's just both sides of non-starters. Is there, from your reporting, from your talking to people, is there any optimism that maybe both sides would give a little just to be able to maybe even broach the subject of a ceasefire?
One thing I've heard from officials this week on the ground here in Ukraine, Evan, is that come October, when the foliage disappears, it's going to be much harder for both armies to hide. Both sides are using drones to sight in their artillery. Yes, many are just using video cameras, using IR sights, infrared. So you think the foliage doesn't make a difference. But for a defensive position force that the Ukrainians are, it will make a difference, because just won't be able to hide as well. So when the director of MI6 says that he thinks Russia's losing steam, between the ammunition, between the fall, there are some signs that the Russians could lose some momentum and that they won't be making the advances they're making. That's one of the reasons officials say that there's a little pause right now, that the Russians are reorganizing, they're rearming, they're getting ready for one more major push before the fall, when the temperatures drop dramatically. I mean, right now it's about 75, 80 degrees in Ukraine, fairly pleasant weather-wise, but come fall, those temperatures plummet. We remember the weather played a big role in the invasion. People were talking about the ground being frozen. What I'm hearing now is that a big thing will be the foliage, and that when the leaves fall off the trees, it just prevents both sides from hiding. And it should be noted that while you don't think about this being a drone war, really what both sides are using for their targeting are drones. And both Ukrainian and Russian drones, they usually only last a couple of missions before they're shot down or jammed. While there's been a lot of people wondering, where's the Russian electronic warfare, the jamming, putting this country dark, putting heat dark? What you are seeing on the battlefield are the Russians bringing down Ukrainian drones.
Lucas Tomlinson, Fox News correspondent in Kyiv for us. Thank you once again for being with us on the Fox News Rundown, War on Ukraine.
Evan, always a pleasure to join you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. Stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.